section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Triple H talks to Stone Cold, Lethal Lockdown on Impact, and what's up with Mizdow. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Triple H talks to Stone Cold right after Raw. Do you think this was a good idea?
Yeah, I think it was. I really enjoyed the Vince McMahon one. I think I enjoyed the Vince McMahon one a little bit more. It had a little bit of a fresher feel to it, whereas the Triple H one was more... oh, Vince, did I need to do it too? Kind of feel to it. It was still really good. You learned a lot of stuff from him. He gave a lot of political answers, though, especially about CM Punk and China, and very political answers. But it was really good. I hope that they do these once every couple of months because, that's something to me that I tune in for because it does feel like it's raw and fresh. Since I don't think that any of these questions were really screened before, these seem like I'm asking you a real question. You're giving me a real answer. And I like that.
Yeah, but you could also tell that he knew what was coming. He knew about the CM Punk. He knew about the China. I thought that some of the questions that Stone Cold threw at him, he wasn't prepared for, which I was excited about because you could just tell. You just tell by the way what he was like. And the one thing that made me mad is that he had an earpiece in. So I guarantee you.
I don't think he had that last time either.
I think Vince did.
Maybe Vince did, but I don't think Stone Cold did, but I know he had one in this time. So
yeah, and I'm wondering if maybe he, because there are some things that, could have gone a little bit longer. I mean, that some questions were going to be up there because they had pictures ready and stuff. But I thought the fact that they called it the reality era, which I thought was really interesting.
Because, that was pretty interesting,
because they've never talked about that. But the one thing that was said, and this is what I thought was funny, is that he basically said that the reason why you started dating Stephanie was so you could further your career, which he implied that, which I thought was really interesting because no one's ever said that to him. Or if they have, work for the company now.
Well, on his DVD, they had talked about that a little bit. Was it Thy Kingdom Come or whatever?
Oh, you actually watched that?
BS thing. Yeah. Oh, dude, it was really hard to watch at times. Well, it really was.
But he said it was an entire promo, which I thought was funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. It. I really liked it. Triple H came off a little bit more likable, but his comments about CM Punk, I still really think that he hates CM Punk. He's like, we just didn't communicate very well, and it's like, I bet that's true. I bet that is very, very true. But at the same time, I also bet that, he had a lot to do with that, where he was like, you're not the type of person that I would expect to be the moneymaker. So, we're not going to focus on you.
Looking back though, when he was saying that, I can see how there's some truth to it, but I do believe that he didn't like CM Punk. Because I think this is the one thing I wish Stone Cold would have asked him, and I wish I would have, been paying attention to it live, which I wasn't. I would have loved to ask him, is the bodybuilder type of wrestler gone? And it's more about the in-ring work. That's the question I wanted to ask. Because after watching it, or I'm sorry, listening to it because I didn't watch it. Well, I watched some of it, but I thought it was interesting that no one's asked that question. They should have asked that question the first time with Vince and also with Triple H.
Yeah, I think that would have been a pretty interesting question. But right now, they have a very easy response to that. And they'd say, take a look at, who is main eventing pay-per-views now. You have, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt. None of those people are really bodybuilder types, so I think that... now they have the ability to say that that's not the case, but we do see the Rusevs, the Roman Reigns, the Rybacks of the world who are getting pushes because of their size.
Now, one thing I want to point out, you brought up Ryback. I want to throw something out at that guy. I don't know what he's done recently, but he has changed. His in-ring work is the best I've ever seen. It was always sloppy. It didn't look safe to me. Now everything's changed. I think he actually worked on it a lot in the psychology of a match. So kudos to him. Anyways, getting back to this interview, I really hope they get someone else. I'd love to have him do Vince McMahon again and just say, hey, we're going to go 3 hours if that's what it's going to take. I would, you know, we're going to make this a special Vince McMahon pay-per-view podcast. That to me would be interesting. I did like the fact that they did touch on NXT, but I don't like the fact of the bad habit comment about the indie guys.
Yeah, they really dogged on the indies a little bit too much, I would say. That was something I was like, really? Like, you know, that's where you got a lot of people from. And, you know, a lot of your best people have come from the indie scene, as you call it, because, you know, the indies, territorial, you know, whatever you decide to call it, it's, you know, pretty much the same thing. So, you know, don't dog on it. That's all I got to say about that.
So we got some more information about Justin Gabriel on basically he was released. Everyone knows he was released now. But what happened was the Raw prior to Royal Rumble, he wasn't booked at all. So he left, came back, found out he wasn't going to do anything that night. And then he went on a plane and went home. Well, on his connecting flight, he found out that he was supposed to be on Raw and they booked a segment. And then basically he just quit. I thought that was really weird, and I don't know if that's going to leave a bad taste in WWE's mouth or not. But
it probably will, and I think that speaks to frustration about the organization, but also a little bit about the direction. If he knew that, oh, hey, I'm not going to be on, well, all right, I'm going to just leave then. You know, if there's no need for me to be here, so he just left. And then, oh, no, now we need you. We're going to just throw you into a little segment here. You know, I think that's very poor planning. You know, that's something that he should have known a week before. So,
yeah, and that's and I'm wondering if, you know, who to blame on that. But, you know, it's also the one thing that I think two underrated guys, one of the two most underrated guys in WWE right now, we got Tyson Kidd and I'm sorry, just Kidd and Cesaro. My bad. Mm-hmm. Call him Tyson. They're very underrated. I think that they're underutilized, and I think that they should do something with it. Well, they decided to start calling themselves the Brass Ring Club with Rose too. Well, he gets thrown in there, but we're not talking about him. We're talking about the two guys who are very underrated. I thought that it was interesting that they took basically Vince McMahon's comments about the brass ring and made it into their gimmick, you know, kind of like the Bullet Club. So I thought that was really cool. They did a play on words and also a nod to Japan.
Yeah, it is interesting. I wonder if this will help them get noticed. Cesaro is obviously an incredibly hard worker, very good worker as well. Same thing with Tyson Kidd. Tyson Kidd doesn't quite have the size, which is unfortunate because he is such a solid worker. But Cesaro, I think he has everything. I think that he's even decent enough on the mic. I think he's better than Roman Reigns on the mic. So it's unfortunate that he's not getting as pushed as I think he should be.
Well, let's just put it this way. You could have a stick figure on the mic and it would do better than Roman Reigns. Let's just be honest right now.
All right. So, Andy, WWE programming this week.
Before we get into that, I want to mention something that I was actually kind of happy about. NXT actually sold out their March 5th event. They sold it out immediately in Dayton when for the Arnold Palmer thing. I just wanted to bring that up because I was like, congratulations, because I believe that those are the guys that sold it, not the fact that Triple H was there or that there was going to be wrestling. I believe that people know of NXT now, and the hardcore people, Philly and the surrounding areas, they want to see it there. So 2,200 tickets were sold. Congratulations.
All right. So Andy, Ambrose challenged Bad News Bear for the IC title on Raw, and Bad News Bear responded saying, you know, get in line, basically. Is this the smart move for Ambrose to go to?
Well, you forgot about the main part about this entire segment. Curtis Axel was finally eliminated from the Royal Rumble. But Dean Ambrose came out, and this is my problem right now. Dean Ambrose, I believe, he was pushed to the top, and then they're like, hold on a second. We're going to cool your jets, all right? That's my beef with this entire thing. But the fact that he's like, I want my belt back. I'm kind of digging it. Or I want the IC belt. I'm sorry. He's never.
I was going to say, he had the US.
I'm sorry. He had the US title for a long time.
and he made that thing worthless. And it's not because of him, but because of the storytelling. He didn't defend that for like, 3 months at a time. But I think that this is a good move because the biggest problem a lot of people have with Roman Reigns is that he's only been a single star now for 9 months or so. Not even 9 months. I shouldn't even say that because, when the Shield broke up, it's been like 6 months. He's been a single star, right? And he was injured for 3 of those months. So you have to take a look at Ambrose, though, who for the most part, even when he was in the Shield, he was technically a single star because he had the U.S. title. And you got to see what he's been doing. And the fact that they aren't trying to push him to the moon, I think that Ambrose and Rollins are going to be the two biggest stars from the Shield, in my opinion, because Ambrose is going to have this really slow build to the top. Rollins has had a nice build, whereas Reigns has had a jetpack put on him and just shot to the top. Rollins is ready for the main event, in my opinion, and I think that he's been built up enough in the right way that will help him. Ambrose, on the other hand, this is a smart move because guess what? He can have the IC title for a while. I predicted he's going to win Money in the Bank. He could have the IC title and Money in the Bank. He could have some really good feuds with the IC title, make it prestigious again, and then potentially go for the WWE title at some point in time.
I completely agree. And I believe that this is what they should have done with Roman Reigns, because Stone Cold said, I'm ready for, and he's like, I wasn't, of course. Is Reigns ready? Never.
No.
So, but I want to bring up, I do like Ambrose. I don't know, something about his ring work, just I dig it. And it's Mike's skills. There's something, he's like the complete package. And I wish
he's a different type of package. He's
not main event, but he's like right there. Like there's something more he needs.
Think of it this way. I would say like Seth Rollins is like Coca-Cola. To me, Dean Ambrose is Jolt Cola. And Roman Reigns is like RC Cola.
Whoa. Lower than that.
So that's what I'm saying, though. Like Seth Rollins is definitely there, and he is going to be the biggest, in my opinion. I think that Seth Rollins will be a gigantic star for WWE. And I think that Dean Ambrose will be a star for a certain number of people. I think people will really like him in a way that people liked Mick Foley or people liked,
Stone Cold.
No, because everyone likes Stone Cold. Mick Foley, though, there was a certain sect of the people that really dug him. There's people that like him as a wrestler or an entertainer. I liked him as a wrestler and entertainer. Do I think he was World Heavyweight Championship material? In my opinion, not really. And that's probably going to blow some people's minds. I'm not saying that he should not have held the title, but I'm saying if I was booking during that time, I may not have given it to him because I don't think that he's that type of person who is the face of my company. But I'm not saying he's bad, if that makes sense.
But remember, they won the Monday Night War.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Mizdow is now his assistant. The Miz's assistant. I don't like what they're going with the storyline. I think it would have been better if they kept doing the gimmick, but then Mizdow comes out and, on Miz TV and says, what do you mean that? Was that, hey, you're my stunt double because I'm not doing any of the work. I'm just out here. That's why I wish that they would continue to do that. But now it's almost like they're going to do this and it's going to be a feud at Fastlane when this could actually go to WrestleMania. Like he could screw him over at Fastlane and then continue the feud, have it over at WrestleMania and call it a day.
The thing I don't like is I think that they're going to be pushing this a little too quickly. I think that they're going to try to I really like it when they take longer to make these things work well. When a tag team breaks up, they have these, it's very formulaic. It's going to be over the course of 2 months and then they're done. It's over with. As opposed to this is the type of one that you can slowly do. You don't have to have a quick one. You could slowly do it. And at Money in the Bank 2015, that's when these two could have their match, or they could even still be going at that time. And Mizdow could cost Miz the ability to win the Money in the Bank briefcase. And then they could have a feud at that point in time. I don't think that they need to do. I don't think they have to fast track it, no pun intended.
Fast track it. Nice. Yeah, so Dan O'Brien, he defeats Seth Rollins in what I thought they were going to start to do. And now Dan O'Brien gets to take on Roman Reigns for the ability to face the World Heavyweight Champion, which is Brock Lesnar. Now, Tripp said something interesting, and this is why, this is what I'm just thinking about this. Dan O'Brien's still going to win. He's still going to beat Roman Reigns. Or they're going to make Dan O'Brien lose, but make him the special guest referee.
For what?
For that match.
For which match?
I'm sorry, Reigns, Lesnar.
Because you think that Brian's going to be the special guest referee for Reigns Lesnar?
You know, they might work it out. They'll do something with that. But like, well, I said,
I'm confused why that, like, in the whole storyline of things, why he would be the special guest referee.
Right. Okay, you're right.
First of all, let's just look at this. When Brian versus Rollins was announced, I said, okay, well, Rollins is obviously going to win. They're going to have Rollins take on Roman Reigns at Fastlane because that way you have a heel versus a face. And I thought that if you have Brian win, Reigns is probably going to get booed quite a bit. But they went with Brian, and I was incredibly surprised by that. That actually kind of blew my mind because I don't know what the buildup's really going to be for that now. And I think that we could see one of two things. We may see either Roman Reigns get booed out of the town, or I think we might even see Daniel Bryan have a little bit of a setback if it's the type of crowd that they're expecting there.
You know, I probably should look this up, but where is Fastlane being held, you know?
It is being held in Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee.
It could be a little smarky at times. It could be a heel crowd.
That's a tough crowd. Back in the day, it's different, but that's a tough one. I think Dan O'Brien is well liked by so many in so many areas that I don't think they'd boo him. I think they'd boo Roman Reigns first.
And I agree with that. I think that crowd is going to be behind Brian more than Roman. And so WWE is probably going to have to change courses. We may see something happen here where Roman Reigns may actually turn heel. And we may have Brock Lesnar be the face.
Yes, that's exactly what they should do.
I don't know if that's what they should do, though.
But right now, remember, Lesnar was getting cheered against Cena, but Rollins, it was kind of like down the line. People have already turned on Roman Reigns. Okay, they turn on Roman Reigns. All right, so turn him heel. Batista should have been heel when he came back. He should have came back for the big pop and then done a heel move so they all boot him. Instead, they booed him when he won the Royal Rumble because they wanted Dan O'Brien to win.
Well, the thing is, he got pops when he came out. It's not like people hated him. People just didn't want him to win the Royal Rumble. That's when he got heat. But Batista could have had a WrestleMania match against somebody. You know, he could have done a fun little feud with somebody. The problem that they had is that they said, oh, no matter what, you're going to main event WrestleMania against Randy Orton with this dumb feud, which made no freaking sense. It was so dumb. But besides that, I do see what you're saying here with Reigns turning him heel. I just wonder, though, if you turn him heel, is he turning heel to align with Triple H, or is he just turning heel to be a heel? Because what are they going to do with that dynamic? Because Rollins turned on him, and Triple H has been giving him a lot of crap. So what are they going to do?
What if you do a double switch? You have Rollins get kicked
why
out
would
of
Rollins,
well,
why would,
hypothetically,
why?
Let's say that they, you know, Triple H says, I made the wrong move. We're going to give you're out of the authority, referring to Seth Rollins, bring Roman Reigns in because he's more of a monster. And then Rollins is by himself.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost have him do that. You know, they did it once before with Del Rio. He came out as a face, then left as a heel. You remember they did that. So you might be able to do something like that. But I don't know if it's time for Rollins to be the face yet.
And no, it's not. It is not time yet. So, but either way, I think right after Fastlane, you and I are going to have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about when it comes to these two, because what is it? It's February 22nd is the pay-per-view, and I'm looking forward to talking about it the following week. because we're going to see something go down. I don't know what, but it's going to be something.
You know what? That's something we should talk about next week then. Let's make a special topic or a weekly topic just on this part. How to book Seth Rollins and make him a face right before WrestleMania or day of WrestleMania.
Dude,
I'm thinking there's actually a way you could do this so then he cashes in on Reigns and Lesnar.
I don't think it would be a smart move, though.
You don't think so?
I really don't know. I think it would be a bad move to turn him into a face. I at this point in time, because he gets so much heat, people are going to the arenas to boo him.
And that's
what you want in a heel.
Well, is Lesnar getting cheered? Is he going to get cheered, though? That's the other thing.
Lesnar? Yeah, he was getting cheered at the last pay-per-view. He'll probably get cheered here, too. So, I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, let's move on, though, to Rusev and Cena. So we held off on talking about it till this week. I don't quite get why these two are feuding, though. Rusev apparently interrupted a Cena interview, and so now Cena wants revenge because they need something for him to go after. This was originally rumored to be a WrestleMania match. That's what it was going to be. But apparently, it's going to happen at Fastlane. My first question to you is, will the match actually happen at Fastlane?
No, they're going to drag this on to WrestleMania, which doesn't make sense. Because
so you think like Rusev is going to attack Cena beforehand and he's going to, you know, do something to stop him from making it?
They'll do something like that. And the thing is, you could stretch this out to WrestleMania, but I think that's bad because I think John Cena should be in a different feud because all they're going to do is they're going to have Cena put him over, which is dumb. Cena should go out there and beat his butt. If you're really about, you know, America, you know, and pride and stuff, that's fine. You know, or you could have, I don't know, someone from NXT come up the day after Raw and beat him 1-2-3 and make that make him the big guy. Who knows?
Yeah,
I could care less about Rusev. It's funny, like in my notes, I put Rusev. Yep. Same thing.
Rusev, I hardly even knew him.
For itself is what I put.
I don't know what they're going to be doing with this. And let me just check here real quick. I don't know if this is even for the title. Oh, no, it is. It says that it's a singles match for the United States Championship, which makes me wonder, what are they going to do? Are they going to have the U.S. title? Are they going to give it to Cena? I doubt it. You know, if it's for the U.S. title, Rusev is not winning it. Plain and simple.
Wait, he's not winning it?
Cena's not going to win it, is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, because Cena, I think he's almost to that point where he probably has another year or two in him, but he really should start putting people over. I mean, he has, but it's always like on a Raw or SmackDown if he wrestles on that, maybe a Superstars here and there. But he needs to put some people over on some pay-per-views and big ones. So I believe that if it does go to WrestleMania, Cena has to lay down. But
I would agree with that.
Ironically, though, you know, the funny thing is, though, let's say that does happen. That's probably going to be one of the better matches because Cena can at least call a match, unlike Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and we're going to run into some issues with that for sure. But anyway, Andy, let's go ahead and thank our sponsor.
HostGator, are you a blogger or a podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click strip installs with our free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do y'all lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. So let's talk some Impact Wrestling this week. So Magnus gets attacked by Bram. What's going on with this?
Yeah, so last week on Impact, we had Magnus getting attacked by Bram in a bar. This was a segment that they had recorded way after they had taped all their shows in New York. And what had happened was Magnus approached Bram, who was really upset about him grabbing the briefcase, even though it was a tag team briefcase. And so Magnus is only going to have one tag team partner, which is Bram. And what ended up happening was it looked like everything was okay, and then Bram just beat the living crap out of him. So two things. It looks like these two are going to be feuding now, probably over the briefcase. And it makes you wonder, who is Magnus's new tag team partner going to be?
I haven't read spoilers. I can't think of the guy's name, but you know who, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Gunner?
Oh, no, no, please. No.
Who was the other guy that you're like, he's just like Gunner, he's just there?
Oh, well, there was the one guy who they had him with all the time, and I can't think of his name, but he was even more forgettable than Gunner. But whoever it was that he was with was just, he was really bad. He was really bad. But no, I don't know. I mean, do they put, you know, Magnus was part of the British invasion. Do they maybe have him with Rockstar Spud, or do they bring Rob Terry in or something like that? What, I mean, what would they do?
I guess Rob Terry would be the logical choice. I'm just trying to think of someone else. Wait, isn't Rob Terry a part of the
freak show that they haven't showcased
the menagerie?
The menagerie that they haven't shown them in a good 4 months
are
now.
Are they still around?
I don't know.
Okay. They haven't been since they've taped all the way to what, like freaking May by now, they haven't been shown. So I guess we won't see them for a while. I don't know who it could be. I, off the top of my head, I just can't think of anyone. I would say Bobby Roode, but he's in a, you know, a feud right now. I'm trying to think of someone. I can't even think of someone that's in, you know, TNA that's not in a feud.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But they'll find somebody. The only thing is, it's not like Magnus was really a face, and it's not like they were, you know, pushing him to be a face. So I don't know what the plan is here.
If I had to guess, it's the guy who is doing the Dexter gimmick. I can't think of his name now.
Oh, Sam Shaw. No, I don't. They'll have to find somebody else. But
did, you know, did they have a few something going on with Sam Shaw and Magnus?
Not with Magnus, I don't think. But
Never mind. It was never mind.
I will say one of the things that TNA will do sometimes is that they have these types of, why are they doing this? And it turns out pure gold. You know, they're you know, EC3, honestly, they started him off and I was a little iffy about it. And they've done a fantastic job with him. But they've also had their other drawbacks, you know, that they've done. So, we'll see. Andy, EC3 and Rockstar Spud are feuding. They've been feuding for a long time now, just to kind of bring people up to speed. We had Jeremy Borash get his head shaved from EC3. Rockstar Spud's been calling him out, and he's been having some assistance from another British boot camp winner. And so they've been taking out Tyrus, which is EC3.
The guy formerly known as Brodus Clay.
What do you think of the EC3 Spud feud so far? Well, I said his real name, didn't I?
Maybe you call him Tyrus, but yeah, the former Brodus Clay. So far the feud, it's just there. It's basically David and Goliath is how I look at it, the type of feud, because you have the guy who's, you know, the big guy, then you have the short, small guy. And I think Rockstar Spud could be okay in it, but I think this has to end with Rockstar Spud stealing a win somehow. But I don't believe that should be his first loss.
I was going to say EC3 has never been pinned, so what do you do?
I guess if you really want to stick it to him, make him tap.
That's not going to happen.
Exactly. So I don't know what to do with this. Maybe somehow Rockstar Spud gets a bodyguard, and it's someone who is just as big. You know, you can almost have Ezekiel Jackson come out. Mm. You know, that would be a good one.
You know, it's funny because I just said his name, but I was thinking Rob Terry, you know?
Rob Terry, right. But he's with the menagerie, so they'll continue that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, what's his face? Crazy Steve or whatever? He's been actually showcased, but not anyone else.
Yeah, you know, and actually I kind of like his character, because it's so different and so it makes it fun. You know, it's a nice addition to the X Division that they don't showcase anymore.
Just to let you know, was it Julian Edelman when he took off his helmet? Doesn't he look like him? Crazy Steve?
A little, yeah.
The haircut is what does it.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, getting back to the EC3 Spud feud, I really, really think that this will end good. There's no, I mean, because EC3 is going to get the win, but I hope that he like beats the crap out of Spud, and then something comes out and he does something where he's like, I want to put one arm behind my back. No, just go ahead and hit me. Hit me right here. And he comes back and then does something to him and pins him for 1, 2, 3 real fast. I think that would be funny to do. But then all you're doing is, I think, hurting his character. But I think that's what they're going to end up doing.
The only thing that I question here is that Rockstar Spud and EC3 is not a big feud. You know, EC3 was in some, you know, he's going against Angle. He was going against Sting. You know, he had some really big feuds. And then now all of a sudden he's just going for Rockstar Spud. Really? Like, nothing against that. I like Rockstar Spud. I think that he is a phenomenal character. But Rockstar Spud is a mouthpiece for people. And he's the guy that gets the crap kicked out of him. He is not the guy that is should be wrestling and being showcased like this. But, you know, apparently he's doing really well with merchandising or, you know, something.
They have merchandise for him?
Yep. I'm with Spud.
Oh, my gosh. So Jeff Hardy takes this bump. That doesn't make sense. Why would he take a huge bump like this? And it didn't look that bad, in all seriousness. I mean, they showed it even last week.
I would say getting, you know, doing a swan dive onto the steel stairs, that's going to hurt you.
Yeah, but still, I mean, he landed perfectly, and then that was it. But it was even on TMZ, of all things, which I found interesting, but it's always weird that something happens before they go over to Europe. That Europe tour, there's always something that happens to Jeff Hardy where he can't wrestle all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why, because he can't travel over there. So, of course, he gets hurt in a great match. And some people were saying it was James Storm's fault. But when you look at it over and over again, you realize that, he didn't really do anything to him. Jeff Hardy just kind of went there and took a hard back bump on some steel steps that looked a little fishy to me, but that's beside the point.
You know, I find it really annoying that Jeff Hardy hasn't done more to try to maybe get that expunged or something where he can go over to the UK. Because like you said, it's every single year. And it's kind of annoying, to be quite honest. It's like, again, they're going to the UK. We're not going to see Jeff Hardy for a month, and then he's going to be back on TV. How are they going to write him off this time? Oh, he doesn't feel like wrestling right now. Oh, okay. Or he got injured again. All right. Well, what's it going to be next year? You know, so I don't know what the deal is. I personally don't like it, and I hope that they try to do something better about it.
Why was he in a hardcore match, of all things, against Abyss? He kind of stopped doing hardcore matches a while ago, and he has actually been able to put on decent matches. So why did they put him in this?
Well, because they had to find something to write him off. So, I mean, honestly, that's all it is. So
they do that, and then with Lethal Lockdown, then that's how, oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so Team Angle takes on the BDC, the Beatdown Clan, which I think is the dumbest. It should have been the Beatdown Club, not Clan.
Beatdown in general sounds stupid.
Yeah, but clan, just there's something about the word clan that doesn't sound right.
Trust me, I totally agree with you there. It's still stupid.
No. That's writing for you. Especially mm-hmm. when you have to, you know, take 2 days to write six shows. And then, and then you're like, oh, crap, we haven't finished the first show. Hey, let's just do this since Jeff Hardy's going to be there. Let's get Team Angle. And by the way, who is the fourth member of Team Angle?
Oh, it was Bobby Lashley.
Oh, it was Bobby Lashley. Oh, I thought he wasn't mm-hmm. going to be the fourth member.
Yeah. Didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, why Rude comes out with the title and then Lashley follows him afterwards. And
mm-hmm.
it's because they had something, you know, they taped something a few days later outside. Anyways. I guess they need to probably have better planning.
Yeah. Oh, well,
it happened. So who won this, by the way?
Oh, Team Angle, of course.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So it's been an interesting week in wrestling. You know, some great shows. Do you like the move for SmackDown to Thursday?
Yeah, I think it's a great move. And they've already seen an increase in ratings.
Do you think that's going to stop being the B show?
I think that if they decide for it to stop being the B show, then it will be. But they have to decide it.
Do you think that Dean Ambrose will end up being like Zack Ryder, where he promotes himself, tries to get over, and then they don't do anything about it, and they just kind of push him down? Like, oh, you'll be forgotten.
No, because the problem is that Zack Ryder doesn't have as much of the pull, I would say, that Dean Ambrose has. Dean Ambrose is going to be a big star with WWE. Zack Ryder is not.
Aww. Oh, well. At least that'll give me something to think about with tears and stuff. So anyways, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, see you in the ring.